It's so good to see old friend Jeremy with us tonight. He promised me about 3 years ago, he said. He's here. Amen. It's really good to see him. He's the one I tell the story about that I told him come to church on Easter that even the drug dealers, remember that story? That was him. Man, it's so good. So good to see him here. Amen. Good to see you too. God is good. I feel like I'm on an assignment, so here's what I'm going to do. It is 7:36. Tracy, where are you at? At 35 minutes, stand up. So I want to, because I've got a long way to go, and this is going to turn into a long series, and I won't know where to stop. All right? Is that all right? So give me 35 minutes. I'm going to see what I can get done real quick. Galatians 4:1. Galatians 4:1 says, "Now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he is Lord of all." Though he is Lord of all, he differeth nothing. Nothing at all from a servant. Amen? As long as he remains in a child state. You can go ahead and be seated. The Bible says that he is Lord of all. The reason he is Lord of all is because his birth gave him that dominion. He is Lord of all because of birth. There is a birthright that comes with that. And that birthright is he becomes heir. He's the heir. His bloodline made him Lord of all. Nothing that he did, but the fact of who he was born to gave him this dominion. The problem is he lacks understanding. So verse 2 says, Galatians 4:2, "But he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father." The word father there is the Greek word pater. And what is so awesome about this word, if you get a chance, look it up so that you can back me up on this. It means generator, the originator, the origin, the source. So at work, where we get our powers from, a generator. The generator is the source of our power. It's where it all begins. So the word father here is source. So the reason that he, the son, is Lord of all is because of the father being the source. Amen? So he's the generator. So Darren, for a year and a half now, we've been talking about, definitely for the last year, we've been talking about identity. We've been talking about who we are in Jesus. We're not just mere people trying to adhere to a religion, but we have been made the sons and daughters of God. And what we must understand is by birth, we have been given some things by birth. We are heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. This is important to know because if we don't know who we are, then we don't know where we should operate. So we have this. We have been made sons of God. And because we have been made sons of God, the problem is if we lack understanding, we differ nothing. We don't differ any at all than a servant. But he said, "I don't call you servants anymore." He said, "I call you friends." So there is a relationship that we must understand that we possess through our sonship. Now, we've talked about a lot of this before, but I want to cover this because it's really important. If you don't think the devil is ever going to doubt your sonship and try to make you doubt your sonship, then you've got another thing coming. Because his goal is to stop you from believing who you really are. And if he did it to Jesus, we understand that when Jesus was led into the and pushed into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil would say, he would ask him, "If thou be the Son of God." And we know the story. He had just got baptized, and a voice spoke out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And immediately he's in the wilderness, and the devil says, "If thou be the Son of God, then command it, if thou be the Son of God." He will always try to question your sonship. He's going to try to make it, Sister Mona, to where we don't believe we really are who God says we are. It's important that you have a tutor or you have somebody, a governor, to teach you who you are. Well, guess what? Glad to see you. I'm your tutor today. My job is to tell you exactly who you are, because when you figure out who you are, things begin to change, not just in your life, but in the lives of the people around you. As a matter of fact, the whole creation is waiting for this to happen. It's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creation is not waiting for another song to hit the top of the charts. The creation ain't ready or moaning for another comedian to become famous. The creation is not waiting for somebody else to strip down and look half naked and catch people's attention while they do things of the creation is moaning for this. It's moaning for the church to rise up and take her place and the sons of God to be the sons of God. But as long as we don't understand this, then we're never going to realize our potential. You know why Solomon was king? Anybody know why Solomon was king? Because his dad was king. Anybody know why his dad was king? Because God appointed him king. It wasn't supposed to be David. It was supposed to be Jonathan, because Jonathan was the son of Saul. And it was supposed to go. But the issue was Saul forfeited his right to the kingdom. And when Saul forfeited his right to the kingdom, Solomon became king strictly by bloodline, because he was the son of the king. He moved into a position of dominion. Dave, when we get this in our spirit and we realize that we really are sons of the king, we will move into a place of dominion. We will stop trying to beg God, twist his arm, and just say, God, let me do a performance good enough that you'll hear me. But no, we know that he hears us because we belong to him. We got to get that. Generator. Originator, the origin, the source. So for months I've been studying scripture, saying, God, I want to take our church from a place of sonship to walking in what we have been ordained to walk in. Now we know who we are. We're sons, but we got to get in a position where we walk in dominion. We are heirs. So there is an instruction that must be given to us. And when we hear it, he said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. We know the people that we love. We know their voice. We know their voice. Some of you moms, there can be a bunch of kids and one of them will cry and you're like, oh no, that's mine. I'm like, how in the world do you know? They all sound the same to me. Brother Eddie. Eddie! Who did that all the time? I've heard that from him. When he heard Eddie, he knew. Because he knew, you know who you love. You know their voice. Remember the illustration? Sophie was little. She was a little kid. And I called. And when I called, she said, pop, pop. And I mean, how she figured out so fast, so young, you're going to figure out the voice. He said, my sheep, they know my voice. So I'm saying, God, give me your voice so that something clicks in us, so that something turns on the light in us, that we realize we've been ordained to walk in dominion. You following me? And so I search Paul's writings, and I search Peter's writings, and I search John's writings, and I found some good stuff in John. But I found something this week that we're going to talk about. And it didn't come from any of them. It came from the lips of our Savior. And he says in Matthew 6:9, he said, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Now there's a lot of things you can pray for. And there's a lot of ways you can pray. Amen? Supplication, intercession. There's a lot of different ways that you can pray. But the more I study this prayer, It's not about supplication, and it's not about intercession. It's about alignment. This prayer is about coming into alignment. Listen really closely. If you don't pray, you're out of alignment. Well, I got a little resistance right there. Well, it's all right. We'll get in alignment, and then we'll know. Years ago, Jeremy, I preached a sermon. I had a little Ford Focus, and the front end was out of line. And you know what happens when things are out of line on your vehicle? It pulls. It pulls one way or the other. And when we're out of alignment, you know what we do? We get pulled one way or the other. It wants to pull you and pull you. Remember the story? Y'all remember the story? I said, man, I got to get this fixed. So I went and got it fixed. And the guy said, man, it's been out of alignment for a while. I'm going to have to rotate your tires. And he rotated my tires. And it was miserable. I'm going down the interstate. He said, they're kind of, I went back and I said, man, you made it worse. He said, no, that's on you, buddy. He said, you let it run out of alignment for so long. He said that it chopped your tires. And he said, listen, it's in alignment now. It's going to be shaky for a little while, but just keep going and it'll smooth out. So see, we've been out of alignment for a while, and the Spirit is calling us back to alignment. That don't mean it's going to be smooth sailing. It's going to shake for a little bit, but hold on. You're headed in the right direction, and this prayer is going to get us from understanding that we are sons of God to walking in dominion that He has ordained us to walk in. I remember this prayer when I was a kid. I memorized this prayer when I was a kid. I was a little kid. And we're sitting in Sunday school class. I remember this so vividly. And my Sunday school teacher said, we should learn the Lord's Prayer. And I'm like, you don't know the Lord's Prayer? And she looked at me like I was a, she goes, you know it? I said, yeah. I thought that was like the staple. She said, well, you lead us. And we'll, I said, our Father. They went, our Father, which art in heaven. Which art. And when I went through this prayer, I had no idea what it meant. But I could quote it. It's dangerous when we're quoting scriptures that we don't know what they mean. I've heard that from the pulpit. Just because we can quote the scripture don't mean we know. Go. Listen. After this manner, therefore pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven. I'm pretty sure it's as far as I'm going to get. Our. The very first word says our. Our is possessive. It denotes possession. Not only is it possessive, but it is plural possessive. So it's not, he didn't say pray my Father. He said pray our Father. So what that does is that puts us in a group. Let me tell you this. You're not in this alone. You're not in this by yourself. He said, our, it puts us among a group that we've got to understand this thing did not begin with us. We are not the originators. We are moving in the plan of God. And if we're not in alignment, then we're in trouble. Because read Hebrews chapter 11 and you'll see all the faith people, the hall of faith, Abraham and Daniel and all the things that go on in there. And then Hebrews chapter 12 begins, we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us run this race. So we're in this race, Dustin, but we're not the ones who began this race. We've got to get in alignment. See, I heard a preacher preach this years ago, and man, it was so good. He said, run the race. He said, look up in the stands, and he said, you're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, people that have gone before you, that laid the foundation, that set this thing up. They put down the pavement that you are running on, and they are rooting for you to win this race. Can I tell you this? They're not complete without us. The church that is walking right now has to complete what they had started. I don't want everything Abraham done to be in vain in my family. He laid the foundation, the prophets, and all the way through to our Lord and Savior. And now it's our job to complete this race. I really believe they are rooting for us to finish the race. We are surrounded with a cloud of witnesses. Our Father. Our Father. Father is source. It's source. Years ago, Miles Monroe did this illustration. It's been a long time ago. Man, it came to me today. This is the Father. This is the source. Our Father. Our Father which art in heaven. So, I better be careful. It's the source is here. He wanted to reveal himself to us. So, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So good. Notice in the Old Testament, we call him God. In the New Testament, we call him Father. Do you see the difference? The difference is when he poured out of himself into him, the pouring out is what makes you Father. Come on. Thank you. I'm glad you're getting this. Because what the pouring out is what makes him Father. He is the source. But the source didn't just remain self-contained. He poured himself out into flesh. Are you with me? So then they looked at Jesus and they said, show us the Father. Show us the source. He said, if you've seen the glass, you've seen the bottle. He said, what do you mean show you the Father? I came straight from the source. Oh, you got to hear this. He said, when you've seen me, you have seen the Father. The Father is the source. The Father is where it all came from. The Father is where it began. Oh, glory. So, I got to leave it alone because I can preach that a long, 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 long time. He is our source. Now, you can say, that glass is clean if you're thirsty. Man, that is soft, man. How many people like soft bread? Yeah. Where'd you get this? Walmart. MacArthur? She went to Walmart and MacArthur and got this bread. So would I say that Walmart is the source of this bread? No. Walmart is a resource. The source, maybe Eddie knows where the source is, but the source is the manufacturer. It came from an origin. And so what we do, and this is what religion does, is try to keep you keep looking for the resource and not the source. You know why religion wants you looking for a resource? You know why religion tells you need me so that we can cash out? We're the resource. You know what they really get nervous about is when you start shopping across town. Oh, no, y'all missed that, didn't you? I think I'll go over here and see what they got. Still looking for the same stuff. You're looking in a different resource, and they're going to tell you you need them, that resource as well. When God is saying, when you pray, don't pray our resource. He said, when you pray our source. You see the difference? You know why I don't pray to the Pope? Because he's not my source or my resource. You know why I don't pray to saints? Because they aren't my source or my resource. You know why I pray in the name of Jesus? Because he is the source. Are you hearing me? He's the source. We got to get to the source. So if I can get you to get to the Father, you understand that you are the Son, but we're never going to walk in dominion unless we get hooked up with the source. Quit going to the resource and go to the source. So, and listen, if you need prayer, you call me. That's what I'm going to do. That's my job. I'm your pastor, and I love you, and I want to pray. I want to pray with you. I want to know because I know who the source is. But I want you to realize this. In the middle of the night, when something's going sideways, you don't have to call me. You can go straight to the source. You don't have to stop at the resource. You get to go to the source. So when he said pray, he said you pray our source. You pray. You got to know who he is. He's the source. He's the generator. He's the originator. He's the place where you go to get it from. Watch this. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Anybody in here ever coached t-ball, played t-ball, watched kids play t-ball? It's miserable. You know what I'm talking about? Put the ball on the tee. It's teed. It's right there. Hit the ball. They hit the tee. And then, man, if they do hit it, what's the coach do? You know why? Because they get all out of alignment. And so what he does is he aligns them. He gets them in alignment, right? Now, listen, I'm just your coach telling you to get in alignment. Because once you get in alignment, man, home is yours. All I got to do is get you aligned to the right thing. And you know what makes me nervous, Simon? Is everybody's like, well, I need you aligned with my doctrine. I need you aligned with this. I need you aligned with the source. Amen. I don't need you. Listen, my doctrine's good. And if you want to hear it, I'll tell it to you. Because I've studied it for years. Part of this is my doctrine. Part of this is what I hold on to. But man, Dustin, I'm like, where do we need to get? What do we need to do? You need to stop treating this like a religion and treat it like you're plugged up to the source and you've got a design to produce for the kingdom. Our Father, which art in heaven. This is where I've been messed up for years. Everybody look toward heaven. You know where everybody looked? Up. Up. Everybody looked up. You know why everybody looked up? Because that's where we've been told that it comes from. But he said, don't pray who will go up and bring it down to us. Am I telling it right, Eddie? Is that Bible? But he said the word is nigh unto you even in your mouth. If you wasn't here last week, we learned this. The kingdom of heaven is... This is so good. This is so good. Because you've been looking for this externally. You've been looking on the outside. Nobody went, I said, look for heaven. Nobody pulled out a mirror. But the kingdom of heaven is, is this your Bible? Is this Bible? Everybody's like, no, don't do that. Don't mess me up. Now, I've been looking up. When I pray, I look up. Daniel didn't. Daniel prays, he pointed toward Jerusalem, didn't he? He didn't. I'll leave it alone. I will. We'll get that another day because this is important. Where's the kingdom of heaven? It's within you. Where's the Holy Spirit abide? In you. What is the Holy Spirit? It's the Spirit of God. So where does God abide? In you. So if the kingdom of heaven is within you, then what are you looking externally for? I'm going to tell you why. Because somebody told you that's where you needed to look. You're a wretched sinner. That's what you are. Wretched. Oh, you are so wretched. You worm. You scum of the earth. How was it Alfalfa said it? Scum between my toes. You're the scum of the earth, and you need somebody to save you. How long you been saved? How long you been saved? Okay, let me tell y'all, I know. It was a real good experience for me. May 13th, 1994, I went to the altar and my life totally changed. I don't need somebody telling me I'm a sinner that needs a savior. I'm a saint that has a savior. So guess what? Guess what? Coach Damon, you are too. You're a saint that has a savior. He has taken up his abode in you. He abides in you. So we keep waiting for it to come from somewhere else. Oh, if God would just send us a revival. You are the revival. Oh, if God would just send us a restoration. You are the restoration. Oh, if God would just send us a renewal. You are the renewal. Oh, if God would just stir our hearts. He said, stir up the gift that is within who? Within you. So stop looking outside. He's already put what he wants in you. And because it's in you, he's waiting on you to walk in dominion. So how are we going to do that? We're going to do it like this. We're going to get in alignment. First of all, we got to realize our source. Our source comes from him. Jesus said, I don't work unless the Father works. That's heavy, ain't it? Jesus said, I don't work unless the Father works. He said, I came to do the will of the Father. The Gethsemane prayer was a prayer of alignment. It was aligning flesh with spirit. Amen? That flesh, like your flesh wants to get out of alignment. Come on, say amen. You know it does. You know you. You know you. It wants to get out of alignment. And when it gets out of alignment, you know what I do? I go to Walmart. Not literal Walmart. A resource. I go to a resource. Resources are good, but they're not the source. Why is this important? Because the devil knows if he can satisfy you with resource, you will never press through to the source. How do they know? How do they know how fresh this bread is, Eddie? You bread man. The color of the tie? Okay. And it changes. So if I want to go buy fresh bread. I mean he did. I watched him stack bread. I do this. Like, I move the ones out of the front and I reach in the back and I make sure it's got a different tie on it. I don't know. They could have put the old bread back there and fooled me. They could have knew that I was there and my father-in-law was an ex-bread man. But I'm telling you right now, we use some soft bread up around our house. So there's your trick. Move that stuff out of the front. They're tricking you. The good stuff's in the back, ain't it, Eddie? Yeah. Yeah, go low. Go low. Low and in the back. But man, if I really, 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 really wanted fresh bread, you know where I need to go? Not to Walmart, not to Save-A-Lot, not to Food Line, not to Dollar General or Literal General, none of those. I need to go to the source, not the resource. Now, the resource can satisfy you to a point. But there will come a moment in your life when you say, there's got to be something more than this. We were listening to the message today, and they were singing a song, and I told Ian, I said, I wonder how long this song's been on the radio. So he looked it up. He said, 2017. since 2017 till now, they have been playing that song on the radio. And it has blessed my soul before. You know what I'm talking about? Man, sometimes you just get down and you listen to a song and you feel better. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you just have church. But man, I'm telling you, there's other times when it just slap hits you. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you're like, man, I feel a little bit better. And then sometimes you're like, you know what? I'm ready to take on hell with a squirt gun. Where are they at? Anybody know? You know what I'm saying? Man, sometimes it does. You know the difference is? Sometimes the resources is working, but sometimes the resource gets you to the source. And when you get to the source, things change. And who's the source? The Father. This is what Galatians is talking about. The reason that he is an heir is because the Father's got the goods. The reason that he has dominion and is Lord of all is because of the way he was born. Now, but his Father gave that to him, right? But until he realizes who he is, he can't walk in that. Our Father, which art in heaven. We are waiting. We got people sitting around waiting for the new Jerusalem to come down out of heaven, 1,500 miles long. We are waiting on the new Jerusalem to come down out of heaven. Well, let me tell you this. The Spirit of God has already came down out of heaven, and it abides in you, and the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens your mortal body. I don't need to wait for anything else to come out of heaven. It's got to come out of me. He put it in there, and it's time for us to let it flow. That's how we walk in dominion. Even so, Lord, come quickly. We got Christian people sitting around praying that God just takes them out of here. You know how horrible that is? I understand there are positions that people get in. I understand that. I get that. But we got people that are able, ready, willing, and they get in a bad spot and they're like, man, I just wish the Lord would take me. Well, I hate to break it to you. His goal is not just to take you. His goal is to use you. Not in the sweet by and by, not up there. When we leave here, we're done. I said, when we leave here, we're done. So we got to do it while we're here. The only way we're going to do it is we realize who we are and what we possess. We have the remedy. We have the power. We have what this world needs. It abides in us. You know why I don't laugh at their dirty jokes anymore? Because that doesn't do anything for me, because I know who I am. I don't have to fit in. God never asked me to fit in. He never designed me to fit in. Why are we trying to fit in when God designed us to stand out and bring forth what the world needs? Why are you trying to blend in when God never designed you to blend in? Romans 8:17, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together, our Father. I need 3 people to get this in their spirit. Just 3. Why 3? I thought he had 12. He did. He had 12. But you know what he did? He took those 3 a little bit farther. I heard a preacher preach one time. He said, you know, people think that Peter, James, and John were his favorites. He said, I'm not so sure. He said, I think he took Peter because he couldn't trust him and had to keep him close to him. Johnny, when I pray in Jesus' name, that's not just the end of a prayer. That is my access to the source. Now, not everybody's going to agree with this type of preaching. They're going to say that, no, 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 that's not how this works. That's not how you're a sinner, you're saved by grace, and you're barely going to make it. And if you make it at all, if scarcely the righteous are saved, then I don't know how in the world you're going to do it. But if I can get you to realize who you are in Jesus, if I can get you to realize that you are connected to the very source and that he longs to manifest himself through you, if I could get us to realize that, this stuff of the world that we've been playing with is never going to satisfy us again. You know what we do? You know what scares me? We spend all this time trying to stop people from clicking on stuff they shouldn't click on. Every men's conference that I've been to in the last umpteen years, it's brought up. Can you men say amen? Don't be good on it. You know, you got to stop clicking. You got to stop clicking. You got to stop clicking. And I can sit and tell you, stop clicking all you want. But what about this? You're looking at that trash when you could be seeing angels. That, Mike, if we get to the place that we're walking along in prayer and we see somebody standing there with a sword and we look at them and say, are you on our side or their side? And they look at us and say, I'm on the Lord's side. When you start seeing that kind of stuff, you'll stop clicking on all that other stuff. I'm telling you, there's something way better in God if we would just realize we don't have to sit down and give in to the rudiments of this world, because God has called us to do so much greater. Tracy, we good? We're not good. Okay, come on. Come on, Josh. She set an alarm. I told her to, didn't I? So I did have a few more seconds. She was trying to swindle me back here. 3 more seconds. A lot can happen in 3. Oh man, this is good. Can I have 2 more seconds? Maybe a few more. A lot can happen in 3 seconds, can't it? Watch this. When Jesus would get ready to do a miracle, watch. Most of the time before he did a great miracle, he was somewhere off praying before it happened. Anybody seen that? Now they say that Jesus would get up before day and would pray. And they say, history tells that he would pray sometimes 4 and 5 hours a day. And then he would go out because, man, I'm telling you pray 5 hours, your flesh is in alignment or dead. He would come out of there. Listen, if Jesus had to pray, do you think you should? I mean, if Jesus prayed, you think you should? God manifested in flesh, prayed. And you're like, I'm pretty good with that. I think I can handle this. No, you better get into prayer. I mean, think about it. Praying 3 hours, and then he'd heal somebody in 3 seconds. A lot can happen in 3 seconds. You know what we want to do? Pray 3 seconds and try to pray for people 3 hours. I've seen them. Come out, spirit. Hours and hours go by, and it's like, I'm tired, you get him. And then somebody else jumps up there, come out. Jesus never did that, did he? No, you know why? Because he was in alignment before he got there. Amen. Oh, that's good. A lot can happen in 3 seconds if we're in alignment when we get there. We want the effects of Pentecost, but we don't want the zeal of Pentecost. They prayed for 10 days. 10 days they prayed. And then Peter preached a 10-minute sermon and 3,000 people got saved. We pray for 10 minutes and preach for 3 years. It's Wednesday. You asked for it. It's Wednesday. Now you're getting beat up. Aaron ain't here. Josh, you better start playing. Because I'm telling you, we're just on our Father, which art in heaven. Our source is in us. Our source is in us. Thank God for resources. Thank God for places that go and point us to the source. Billy, church is good. It's good. I like church. You like church? I like the music. I like the people. Most of them. I'm looking around. I don't see anybody here I don't like. No, nobody. I like all of y'all. I like it. I like it. This is a good resource. It's a good place. Ain't it? But when I can't get here, I still got the source. So I can be a son of God in the middle of a trial, in the middle of torment, in the middle of tarnation. In the middle of a mess, I can still be a son of God. Amen? Because we're connected to the source. Amen. Amen. So here's what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, when I get connected to the source, I don't have to come to church no more because you're just a resource. So a bunch of people are going to stay home now and say, oh, yeah, I was connected to the source. No, when you're connected to the source, you want to share that source. And what do you become, Jason? You become the resource. Somebody's looking at you. This ain't for you to bottle up and go home. Hurry, you better start singing. I'm telling you, we'll go to part two. Go, Josh, sing. The source is in you, Shane. The source is in you, Taylor. The source is in you, Don. Simon, the source is in you.